Ryanair has announced the reopening of its Cork base from December, with 12 routes for the winter months and 20 routes operating from Cork for summer 2022. The airline is calling, though, on the government to continue a funding scheme at Dublin Airport until next October, beyond its expected expiry date. Otherwise, it says capacity there will be down by a third next year compared to before the pandemic. In March, Ryanair said it couldn't guarantee reopening Cork because of what it described as a crazy plan to dig up the runway. Well, I spoke to Ryanair CEO Eddie Wilson earlier. I asked him what had changed.
The work on the runway finishes on the 22nd of November. But more importantly, what we have done is that we've come to an agreement with Cork Airport, which now means that we can restore the base from the 1st of December. All of our people come back to work. It means people in the southwest region that depend on those 20 routes from Ryanair can now plan for next summer. And, you know, we're now back, and it's important that we're back to 100% of the capacity pre-COVID. So that's now Cork done, Shannon and Kerry and Knock as well. The outlier is Dublin still, which could potentially fall to 35% below the traffic that we would normally have there pre-pandemic. And, you know, as I said, like we call on the minute, like if Eamon Ryan's listening today, extend the scheme from June in next year to October, and Ryanair will also restore all of its traffic into Dublin. And that means pretty much people who depend on us for tourism, business connectivity can now plan into next summer.
Otherwise, your commitment will be for that reduced amount of volume out of Dublin right through to this time next year.
Yeah, potentially, because like it's all about next summer, really. And, you know, this company has lost almost €1 billion in our last financial year, and we are slowly making our way back to profitability. So it's not unreasonable that you're going to respond to incentives to get your traffic back to what they were pre-pandemic. Cork has been able to do that. Now, Shannon as well. Dublin is much larger. And they already have a scheme in place, like the DAA have a scheme in place, but it runs out in June, and an airline has to plan for the entire summer. And the summer for us in the airline industry ends in October.
Yeah. Overall, and, you know, listening to what you've been saying, what Michael O'Leary has been saying in recent times, you're very optimistic about the prospects for aviation, and more particularly for Ryanair as we come out of the pandemic. You think there's going to be strong demand. In fact, you're saying that you expect fares to rise because you think the capacity isn't going to be there to meet the demand.
Yeah, I mean, like, we made a decision very early. We didn't make our people redundant. We didn't wrap up the airplanes and keep them on the ground. So we kept everything moving so that when it came back, particularly when the European passport came in July, that started to kickstart things. And now we can see that, like, October is exceptionally strong. Those who didn't get a holiday during the summer are certainly taking it at half term. November is always a difficult month, but I think the pent-up demand for Christmas will mean that fares will rise, you know, because there's just less seats available in Europe. And we've been saying this right from the start, you know, when we were in the middle of the COVID pandemic, the larger European airlines have got smaller. A lot of airlines have gone bust. And if I recall my junior cert economics, if there's less of something, generally the prices go up. And, you know, I think that's going to happen across Europe. And airlines are going to put their capacity where they can get competitive deals, given the losses that we've taken over the last year.
What about the implications of rising energy costs for aviation, and particularly for your own company? Are you hedged against that? Have you bought forward so you're insulated to some extent from that?
Yeah, we are. We always have a hedging policy. I mean, obviously, when we were in pre-pandemic, we had hedge ineffectiveness. But, you know, we hedge against that because it's almost 50% of our cost, and it's prudent to do that. So we have a comprehensive hedging policy in place to minimize spikes in the energy market.
Even though you got caught out some years ago where you'd bought forward at higher prices than eventually were the case, fuel costs were falling at that time.
Every single airline got caught, not because they bought at the wrong price, but because they weren't flying airplanes. When you're not flying airplanes, you're not using the fuel, and you've got to pay for the difference in the price. So the hedging will obviously be less than we've had in previous years, because you are gradually just returning to this. But we are sufficiently insulated against that.
Aviation, as I think is well recognised, is a contributor to climate change, CO2 emissions, even though there's increasing and greater fuel efficiency. Given that, given the challenge we face in relation to climate change, should we all not be thinking about flying less rather than more now in the years ahead?
Yeah, I think what happens is that people tend to equate flying as being somehow discretionary and it's all about holidays. You know, it's not. I mean, at the other end of, even if you take holidays at the other end, a lot of like Ireland, island economies in Europe, southern European economies all depend on tourism. And people need to move as well for, you know, labour markets. Look at what happened with the huge migration of people from Central and Eastern Europe into Ireland and the UK over the last 20 years. That wouldn't have happened without low fares and access. You know, lower access costs. But what we've got to say is that, look, this is a highly regulated industry and safety is the number one priority. So you can't just change engines overnight. It takes a long time. But I think the real way out of this is no different than any other form of transport. Have larger airplanes with more passengers per flight to lower emissions per passenger. And we're doing that with larger aircraft. We're doing it, the new aircraft that we have, you know, burn 16% less fuel, 40% less noise emissions. And final thing, sorry, Brian, final thing is sustainable aviation fuel is really going to be the key to this. Because if you can do that and
the sustainability that's been achieved the increased efficiency that's been achieved in relation to fuel and engines isn't being matched. It's been overtaken by the increasing numbers of people who are flying and the increasing number of seats that are being filled in aircraft in the air.
Not necessarily. I mean, like, but if you look at it, like 50% of emissions are caused by long haul flying, not by short haul flying. And, you know, you've got a lot of governments that put in environmental taxes to protect their, you know, the Lufthansa's and KLM's by not charging taxes on connecting traffic. But leave that aside. Sustainable aviation fuel, we have a commitment that we're going to go to 12.5%. We do that by 2030. If governments throughout the world incentivized energy companies to invest in the infrastructure for sustainable aviation fuel, and we've invested $1.5 million with Trinity College in a sustainable aviation fuel research project, I think that's what that's going to be the key to this, because we all still need to get around by airplane.
But the point perhaps is that, well, first of all, as a matter of fact, there's no such thing as emissions-free aviation. You can't fly with zero emissions. The technology doesn't exist. And if we all just flew a bit less, that would make a big contribution to reducing those CO2 emissions, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, I disagree with you. I mean, there was actually some small electric flights, you know, like there that were highly publicised at the weekend.
But yeah, it's
like
not commercially viable at this stage, obviously.
No, I know that, but like, you've got to start somewhere. I mean, like, you don't, like, you know, in economic progression, what you do is, if you look at the car industry, the answer isn't to tell people who've got smaller cars not to drive their cars. What you've got to do is have more fuel efficient cars, and people are gradually migrating into electric cars. So things take time to do. You can't just cut it off. What you should do is, how can we have less of a footprint? And like, this is a growing issue for aviation, and it's only going to be solved by investment in new engine propulsion technology and in sustainable aviation fuel, because it will take longer to do that. The answer isn't to sort of cut off our noses and say, we're not going to fly, or put up prices or things like that. We need aviation to get people on and off this island so that we can have that essential connectivity.
Eddie Wilson of Ryanair.